Praise the Lord. And message number 149. The title of the message is God's Presence in Our Lives, Part 1. We will speak in this message and next few messages about the importance of God's presence in our lives. Sometime we might be tempted that we have money or power or some authority or privileges or gifts or whatever we had received from the Lord, we might be tempted that these things of what we have can replace God's presence. We should be aware the importance of the presence of the Lord in our lives. The importance of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Moses said to the Lord, if your presence will not go before us, or your glory will not go before us, don't send us, Lord. Because Moses knew very well that if the Lord will not be with him, he will not be able to do anything. Before we will continue the message, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, we magnify you, we adore you for your presence in our lives. I know the message, the word that you sent to your church and to your people. Use this message for your glory to reach the lost. And also, Lord, to revive us as a church to continue to go on and serve you and walk in your ways, in the truth that you had ordained for us to walk on the way that you had already planned for us to move. Lord, anoint my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to be, O God. And let the message bring clarity and teaching to your church and to your people. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. This all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first scripture is Book of Exodus, chapter 33 and verse 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from there. Moses was asking that God should be present with them. God's presence should go before them and with them before that the Lord would send them. We will read also Exodus chapter 33 verse 7 to verse 11. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to the tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Now here, the presence of the Lord was indicated by the pillar of cloud. Here Moses took a tent and he pitched it outside the camp and he called the tent of meeting. And we know that Jesus suffered and crucified outside the camp. That's why in the book of Hebrew and chapter 13, what we read, verse 12, and verse 13, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Verse 13, let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. So here, Moses pitched a tent, and he called the tent of meeting. He wanted to meet God. And not only he, everyone who want to inquire of the Lord, he will go there with the presence of the pillar of cloud and Moses, and they will require of the Lord. And whatever Moses would receive from God, he will tell the people about what God wants them to know and to do. But what we find here, that the whole church is in one accord. Everyone watching Moses when he moved, and they watch also the pillar of cloud, and every one of them he worship in front of his own tent. So there is a church worship together in one accord. All of them, they are agreeing about certain thing of what God has said and instructed through Moses to them, and they apply there in, and they apply all the teaching and all the advices that God sent through Moses to them, and they worship the Lord, everyone in his own tent. So here the church and the congregation of the Lord, they were in one accord, in unity, observing and keeping the presence of God in their life. This arrangement was before the Lord gave them the tabernacle, and before the Lord had commanded Moses to make the Ark of the Covenant. In the book of Exodus chapter 37 and verse 1 to verse 7, it says, speak, and Bezalel made the Ark of Shittim wood. This is the description of the Ark of the Covenant. It was made by Bezalel, the man who is the Holy Spirit filled and used to do this work of God. They made the Ark of Shittim wood, 2 cubits and half was the length of it, so it's about 110 centimeters, and a cubit and a half the breadth of it, so it is about it's about 60 to 70 centimeter, and a cubit and a half the height of it. And he overlay it with the pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold to it round about. So it is like a box inside and outside. There's a gold overlaid with gold, and there's a crown at the edge round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set by the 4 corners of it, even 2 rings upon the one side of it, and 2 rings upon the other side of it. These rings was used so that they will put the staves, and these are rods, as we will read in verse 4. And he made staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold, and he put the staves into the rings by the size of the ark to bear the ark. So here the ark is a box made of wood, overlaid inside and outside by gold. There are 4 rings of gold on the sides, so that the two staves will pass through these rings and can be carried on the shoulder by the Levites. And verse 6, and he made the mercy seat of a pure gold. This is the mercy seat inside the box. It's like a chair. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. So here the seat was of a good size. And who would be going to sit there? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's where the Lord place among his people. And the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the tabernacle, in the most holy place. And the tabernacle was placed in the middle, and around the tabernacle the tribes of the Israelites were arranged, just in direct contact with the Ark of the in direct contact with the tabernacle of the Lord were the Levites. Outside the Levites, the rest of the tribes of the Israelites were arranged. So God was in the center of the lives of his people. And verse 7, and he made 2 cherubim of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. So above the mercy seat there's 2 cherubim. Now we know that when we receive Christ, Christ will enter our lives and will enter our heart, and the same arrangement will be there in our heart, that the Lord will sit on the throne of our lives and our hearts. You know, sometimes for just illustration, we draw heart, and inside the heart we draw also a chair, and we say that as you receive Christ and God in your life, who's sitting on this throne, the chair? You or God? It is either you sit on the throne and you want God to follow you, and that's not correct, or Christ will sit on the throne in your heart, in your life, and you need to follow him. In the same way, Christ should be in the center of the church, and he should be the head, and we should follow Christ and observe his ways and what he wants us to do and follow. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, it is the same arrangement. We will read it, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 4. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a holy sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shew bread, which is called the sanctuary. That is the outer room of the sanctuary. They call it the holy room. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest, which is called the holiest of all, or we called it the Holy of Holies. Verse 4, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So here, when God commanded Moses to make the tabernacle and to make the ark, The Ark of the Covenant, where it have the seat of mercy or the mercy seat, it will be kept in the Holy of Holies or the holiest of all. With the Ark, inside the Ark, where there is the mercy seat, there are three things. And these three things also indicates God's presence in the life of His people. What are these three things? The golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tables of the covenant. Some people, they say, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my life. But the presence of the Lord, it also supported by three other things, is in direct intimacy of the presence of God in our lives. And we're going to discuss these things. We know that God's presence in our lives, if these three other things also present and we observe and abide with. We will speak, we'll read also from the book of Numbers chapter 9, about the presence of the Lord in the life of His people. After they have set up the tabernacle and they put the ark, also the pillar of cloud was there. We will read verse 15 to the end of the to verse 23, Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to verse 23. This is a very nice passage. We will see how the people were abide with God's presence. They would not move or do anything unless God move ahead and before them. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it from evening till morning. The cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelite encamped. So here they are really moving with the Lord. In verse 18, at the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Verse 20, sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at His command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. So what we understand here, that they don't have personal plan. He said that sometimes it's just overnight it's settled, then in the morning it's going to move, or in the night it's moving. So they cannot say to the Lord, can you wait 1 week more? We are tired, or we don't like to go now. No, they don't have personal plan. Their mind focus on the Lord. What God said, what God one, their heart is there also with God. They move. And that's the way. Verse 22, whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they will set out. So even long time, a year, months, no one will say, we are in a hurry, we have to move. If the Lord will not move, we will not move. Verse 23, at the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. They obey the Lord's order in accordance with His command through Moses. So they obey the Lord through His command that He sent to Moses. And Moses gave them. So here, the whole community bound together with the Lord and with their leader who is receiving the word of God and give them the instruction. The cloud is there, and the description of God's command, God's word, is there. So the Holy Spirit and the word of God. Led by the Holy Spirit and instructed by His word. And that is the way the Israelites, they kept God's presence while they were in the desert. As we had said that inside the ark, inside the mercy seat, there is the mercy seat, the seat of mercy where God will be on the throne, in the heart of the community of His people, in the heart of the camp of the Israelites, with the ark there is three things: the golden pot of manna, the staff of Aaron that had budded, and the tablet of the covenant. So when we speak about God's presence, the three other things should be there. And every one of these three things, it has a meaning. And the first one we're going to speak today in this message, we speak about the tables of the covenant. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 34. In verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. These are the tablets that the Lord wrote on them with His finger, the Ten Commandments. And this is the Word of God. When we speak about the presence of the Lord, His presence should go along the Word of God. In verse 10, Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all people, before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Now, what we learn here, that God make a covenant. Covenant is a contract between man and God. A covenant between Himself and His people. And as we know, for any contract, we need a written document and people will sign. So here the Lord also, He wrote on the tablets the commandments that His people should observe and follow, so that He will fulfill to them what He had promised. He say, I'll make a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonder. If you obey, there'll be wonderful things that all the people that you live will witness these things. Verse 11, obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Verse 12, be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or there will be a snare among you. He say that I'll be going to drive out those people. If you're going to obey me, those people who are taking this land and taking your blessing and what I had ordained for you, I will drive them out and I will give you what they have. But do not make a treaty with them. Our covenant should be with the Lord, and we go in line with His word and His will. What the Bible speak, we need to follow. In Exodus chapter 40 and verse 20, it speak when Moses set out, when Moses set up the tabernacle and put the ark inside the Holy of Holies, or inside the Holies of all. Verse 20, he took the testimony and he placed it in the ark, attached the poles to the ark, and put the atonement cover over it. So here Moses put inside the ark the two tablets that have the writing of God, the Ten Commandments. So when we speak about the presence of the Lord, we speak about the seat of mercy, when we speak about the Jesus in our life and in our hearts, we should be abiding with His word that the Bible speak. When the Bible speak, when the word of God speak, that we follow. When the word of God say no, is no. When the word of God say this is the way, this is the way, we need to abide, so that in doing this we are keeping God's presence in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, and you are faithful to us, keeping your presence and your power and your covenant and your promise to us. Lord, I pray for faithfulness on the side of each and every disciple, that we will follow you wholeheartedly and walk in your ways. I pray, O God, that the message will encourage your people to be aware, and those who are doing their own, they will repent. Those who are breaking your word, they will understand that what is the danger of forfeiting your presence and moving into a wrong direction. I pray for revival. I pray that you will raise up more people to serve you. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, with whoever faithful, give to him the spiritual gifts, so that he will be more effective, and the resources, so that he will be more fruitful for your glory. Help us as a church to be fruitful, effective servants of yours, to reach the lost and to bring the gospel, the message of Jesus, to them all. Oh Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, Amen and Amen.